2 years ago, I stood here. My family wasn't here yet. Actually, I think I stood up there. That was before I realized it was okay to walk down here and be a little closer. I stood up there and I told you a story about a motorcycle and how I was riding a motorcycle and how I was in this enduro. And it was a true story, true enough. And I was riding this motorcycle and I was in this enduro and how in the first enduro I ever rode in, and it was in third place, and then in the second enduro, I got so hopelessly lost that they had to send a crew out to find me. Well, I want to tell you another motorcycle story today to kind of give us a frame for talking about the letter to the Hebrews. This is a story about Quinn and a little motorcycle named Chaos. Don't ask me how to spell it. Chaos was a Hot Wheels motorcycle, okay? And Chaos, somewhere in all of our transition to Alabama, and then from the town home into our home in Pelham, Chaos got lost, okay? Chaos had chaos, and that'll preach, right? And so Chaos got lost, and I went to several stores trying to replace Chaos, right? And let's be honest, you and I know that Hot Wheels cost 97 cents, if they're not the Star Wars branded kind. I mean, just regular Hot Wheels, 97 cents. It's not a big deal to me. It's just a little motorcycle. It's a big deal to Quinn. Let me tell you the ending of this story. It's not a tragedy. Eventually, Chaos was found in the diaper of one of the baby dolls at our house. Thomas, that was awesome. Why? I don't know. None of us know. I fear this baby doll is walking around at night eating cars. Like, it's October. Let that haunt you for a while. I thought a lot about Chaos this week because Hebrews is such an incredible letter, and we'll talk in depth about that. But I thought about Chaos because Hebrews quotes Psalm 8, which is this, what is a human that God is mindful of them, right? If we start talking about cosmic scale, we start talking about, we profess in a God who is so big and so mighty and so powerful that really, what are we but ants in that God's worldview? But I watched my son care so passionately about something that meant nothing to me that I began to understand exactly what it means to care so deeply for something that maybe everybody else wouldn't care about. You are right. By all accounts, there's no reason that God should care for us like God does. But God, we are God's chaos. And He hunts for us until God finds us. Hebrews is an interesting letter. Historically, it was ascribed to Paul, but most people now understand that Paul didn't write Hebrews. My favorite theory is written by Priscilla, because I feel like women are woefully underrepresented in the New Testament writings. And so since nobody knows who it was written by, and I can pick basically in scholarship between Apollos and Priscilla, I'm going with Priscilla. Amen. A little higher pitched. Amen. Hebrews is a complicated, complex, repetitive, rhetorically beautiful letter, or really a sermon. It doesn't open with the traditional letter opening. It has a closing, but really it's a sermon to, despite being to the Hebrews, it's really written to a diverse crowd, some Jews who had converted to Christianity and some Gentiles who had come into the fold. And so it's an appropriate letter to read, an appropriate sermon to talk about on Anniversary Sunday, because we ourselves are a diverse crowd. I love this church. On Wednesdays, I've started going to a lectionary group in Montevallo. They say hi, Jim, by the way. Buddy says hi. Buddy, anyway, it doesn't matter. Today is also the fourth anniversary of the University Baptist Church in Montevallo, which partnered with Vestavia Hills Baptist Church to help found Cross Creek. And they're celebrating their anniversary Sunday today as well. But you know what they're not celebrating? An awesome church like this one. I want to talk about World Communion Sunday and unity, but I also want to just say, we're the best, okay? Like St. Peter, first among equals. You know how it is, right? In a leg wrestling contest, we always win. That would be really great if that's how we paired churches against each other. We're a part of a larger body. We're going to get to that. But it is a beautiful church to serve. It is a church that I love. And it is a church full of people who, I told you in the interview process, you guys are weird. And somebody said, hey, you should have used a different word. Nope. You're an eclectic, beautiful group of people. You run the gamut from the far right theologically and politically, maybe not the farthest right, but pretty close, to the far left. You run the gamut from men and women and race and background and feelings about any number of things. You can disagree with each other about anything, and you show back up. It's not that way everywhere. And I never want to take it for granted. One of the reasons that that is so beautiful and so profound is because it is indicative of the reality of how interconnected we are and how false all separations are. Hebrews is a sermon that gets kind of weird, so it's a good sermon for Cross Creek. I think the bumper stickers, you know, we're piling up a collection of things I'd like to see us put on bumper stickers, and one of them is Keep Cross Creek Weird. It worked for Austin. I don't know why it couldn't work for us. Hebrews gets mystical. It tells this story about this God who used to talk through these prophets and these people, but then that wasn't enough, and so he began to talk through Jesus. And Jesus, who was the perfect offerer of sacrifice of himself, but not only is he the perfect offerer of sacrifice, but he is intricately connected to us in an inseparable way. That's not something we talk about a lot. But what Hebrews tells us is that Jesus, as a part of who God is, becomes the fullness of who we are. That is hard to understand. Because that means, if we take that to its furthest extent, that in our darkest moments of doubt, despair, disbelief, and bad behavior, Jesus is not separate from us. And if we continue to take that further, then what that means is that in the people we dislike, in their weirdness and difference and awkwardness and bad behavior, that Jesus is not absent there either. Today is World Communion Sunday, and I love that our anniversary as a church falls on World Communion Sunday. Because it's a Sunday that we remember that we are not in this alone. St. Augustine defined sin as a constant spiraling into oneself and a shedding of relationships. That's also part of the American ethos sometimes. John Wayne doesn't need anybody to ride into town with him, right? I mean, he might have a sidekick sometimes, but they're really comedic relief. They're not the Duke. But the gospel tells us that we are never alone, and that to believe we are is an illusion and sin. I love that we take communion today with our brothers and sisters down the street who worship and sometimes believe differently than we do. Because what that says is that the broken body of the Son of Man, and that's an intentional use of the Son of Humanity, the one who is like us. The broken body of Jesus transcends our differences. I think the challenge for us, the opportunity for us, is to be a people who see the world differently. To be a people who look in the eyes of the person that is easy to despise and see the Son of God or daughter of God. If you say you don't despise anyone, we need to talk about self-awareness and self-honesty, okay? We've all got those people. Them. It's always those. Sometimes it's that one. But what the real mystery of the gospel is that in that one we despise, Jesus is no less present than in us. And that in both of us, us and our neighbor, and the foreigner and the alien, in all of us, Jesus is far more present than we often realize. Jesus, God in Jesus, doesn't call us just things to be considered, just people that he should be mindful of us. God in Jesus becomes one of us and is unashamed to call us brothers and sisters. We joke a lot about my inability to hug, right? Guess what? I feel like 2 years in, I'm cured. I've hugged a vast majority of you, sometimes when you didn't want it. But not in like a creepy way, okay? Let's be clear. I've got the Good Baptist side hug. I know how to do it. It's a subtle hip shift away. That's the secret. I joke about that because I think about who am I really willing to embrace? What about the people who made me angry last week? What about the people who live a lifestyle I don't agree with? Am I willing to call them sister, brother? Am I willing to hold them close to me as God holds me close to him? Cross Creek is a spectacular place, but we're not done. We are called to continue to be a people who say to those the world has shunned, welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. I love our covenant. I love that we read it together, but sometimes I just wanted to say, welcome, y'all. Period. Because to be a people that matters in a hurting world means to leave off all that other stuff. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday or 5 minutes ago or even what you were thinking 2 seconds ago when you realized we were running past 11. Welcome, y'all. 38 years. 40, counting some house time, flooded basements. The witness of God in this community matters. The witness of God in you matters. And to be a people means to be not done. So when we leave here and we go and we eat together, love the people you're with, and then when we leave here, and we go to Walmart and we stand behind the people who cannot make that machine function. Try this. Brother, can I help you out? sister. That thing frustrates me too. Because to be God's people means to focus on what unites us and to let go of what separates us. And that's what it means to be Cross Creek. Amen.